Welcome to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. The fall movie season has begun, and this is the time of year movie lovers wait for, as studios release the films they hope will be able to compete in the many award shows that happen in the winter. To help you prepare for the rest of the fall movie season, we have a panel of local critics. Joining me is Hope Madden, the film critic for The Other Paper. Welcome, Hope. And also Frank Cabrera, film critic for the Columbus Dispatch. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
And joining us in a few minutes will be Brad Keefe. He's the film critic for Columbus Alive. Now, out right now, there is a film starring Ryan Gosling and another one starring Matt Damon, but The Lion King from 1994 was number one at the box office last weekend. So, Hope, what gives? Why does that happen?
You know, honestly, I think it has to do with I was with my nieces for a week and a half, and we tried desperately to find something to go see. And I had to go see The Spy Kids for the second time, regardless of the fact that I had given it one star when I reviewed it.
Oh, dear.
There wasn't anything for families to go to. And I think, besides, I mean, The Lion King, it's a good movie. I'm not sure how effective the 3D translation is. But, I just think people are – it's a new generation excited to see it on the big screen, I think.
Frank, are you surprised when a movie – something like bringing Lion King back makes a lot of money?
No, I'm not surprised at all. They waited long enough that it became fresh, even if they've seen it before. You can take the kids to see it. There aren't a lot of other things out there, as Hope's pointing out, to take kids to. And it isn't like they brought back Hercules or Pocahontas. I mean,
it's a good
I don't
one.
Think those would have topped the box office.
Right.
But The Lion King is sort of the cream of the crop of the Disney hand-drawn animation. And therefore, certainly, I wasn't surprised at all to see that happen.
And they brought it for a limited time, so there's the urgency factor, right?
That's an old Disney ploy.
Yes.
We're only going to show this to you for 3.5 hours. You better run now.
Straight from the Disney archive,
yeah,
right?
Two weeks, is that when it's going to be?
I think so.
Before they put it in the archive and they don't bring it out again, right?
But if it doubles its box office take next week, they might sneak another week in there. You never know.
Maybe. There's a film opening this weekend that has been getting a lot of buzz, Moneyball, starring Brad Pitt. In this scene, we have Billy Bean, who is played by Brad Pitt, and he is talking to Peter Brand, played by Jonah Hill, on Peter Brand's first day on the job.
Hey, Billy, I wanted you to see these player evaluations that you asked me to do.
I asked you to do three.
Yeah.
To evaluate three players.
Yeah.
How many did you do?
47.
Okay.
Actually, 51. I don't know why I lied just then.
Okay, so that's Moneyball, and it's starring Brad Pitt. Did you both see that?
Yes.
Who wants to start? Why don't you tell us a little bit about what it's about and if you liked it?
We should throw a bat back and forth, and whoever it has gets the hand up on the top.
You happen to have a couple baseball fans actually in the crowd today. So.
Yeah. Unfortunately, cursed to be Indians fans, but that's a whole nother tragedy. But Moneyball is a true story based on the early career of the Oakland Athletics general manager, Billy Bean. Young hotshot, a one-time can't-miss prospect in baseball who did miss, who didn't have much of a career. I looked it up. He had a .218 lifetime batting average over about six part-time seasons. Then became the general manager at Oakland at a time when it was clear to everybody that small market teams like the Oakland A's cannot compete effectively, spending bucks that major market teams such as the Yankees and Red Sox and Angels and Dodgers can spend. So he wound up out of desperation turning to a young computer expert who had all these complex mathematical formulas on which players to go after, players who are undervalued by other teams because they don't have high batting averages, but they are able to get on base, produce runs, and runs can produce wins. It's based on a book that was very popular called Moneyball that came out in 2003. And I think that the movie largely oversimplifies the complexity of the subject because I was at the end of the movie, and I still had an awful lot of questions to ask about the theories that the movie never really approached. But if you like baseball, it's good. It's an original baseball movie in that no baseball movie I know of has ever taken us behind the workings of the front office before, and that's something we've never seen before. Player negotiations, contracts, trade talk, things like that. And then on top of all the rest of that, it has Brad Pitt at probably his most charming that I've seen him in years. He's just a ball, and Billy Bean should be flattered as heck.
So, Hope, there's been some Oscar buzz for Brad Pitt for this movie. What do you think?
Yeah, I think actually, I think he has possibilities of two different nominations because of The Tree of Life, and he was spectacular in that film
That's a much better performance.
It is.
I mean, it's a more demanding performance.
Yeah, it is. But you're right. I mean, he's just fun. He's fun in this movie, and which the movie is a little dry. It's a little statistic driven, and so you really need to have it. They make it a very character centered film, which is necessary. But for the most part, it gets the baseball right, and it's kind of fun to hear a lot of. Ricardo Rincon, a lot of the player names that, of course, they wound up on the Indians eventually because we don't have any money either. And it's just, it was nice to see them, for the most part, I think, get the baseball right, but still, have it be very character-driven.
The baseball is very right in this movie, I believe. I went to it with my daughter, and we were talking about it afterwards. She loved it, and I said, yeah, but would your mother love it? And my wife tolerates our fascination with baseball. Nods her way through it, but I have a feeling halfway through this movie she'd start.
That's what I was wondering
about other thing, thinking about doing the laundry and what's going to be right. for dinner.
Well,
and stuff
I was
like
going to ask if someone who is
it
not
may
like
be
baseball
too inside,
and
I
doesn't
think.
Know a lot about baseball. I'm not pointing any fingers, but perhaps me. I like it, or am I only going to see it because Brad Pitt's in it?
There are a lot of funny moments in it. There are a lot of really good performances. They do. It was originally supposed to be Steven Soderbergh directing, and he was going to make it almost sort of documentary driven. Yeah. And I think that they did a nice job. Bennett Miller directed, who did Capote, which I love, and he and Brad Pitt. If you're looking for a Brad Pitt romance film, and it's 2.5 hours, and it probably will feel a bit long to people who aren't that interested in baseball, but it's a well done movie. It really, really is.
By
it's
comparison,
worth
a non baseball fan can enjoy Bull Durham for the sex, or Field of Dreams for the sentimentality, or A Pride of the Yankees for the heroism. In this case, you probably ought to love baseball a lot more than you would need to for those other films.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay.
And what about Jonah Hill being in a statistician
great.
Role?
Yeah. He's great. And really, I think he's an underappreciated actor. Not a lot of people saw Cyrus came out last year. He was great in it. I mean, it was a funny movie, but it was dark and weird, and he did a great job. And I think that he's more of an actor than people realize.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurovich. Joining me in the studio is Hope Madden, film critic for The Other Paper, and Frank Cabrera, the film critic for The Columbus Dispatch. Listeners, what movies are you looking forward to this fall? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or send an email to allsides@wosu.org. And there's also another movie opening this weekend, Abduction, starring Taylor Lautner of Twilight fame. So can Taylor Lautner do action-adventure? I don't know that you've seen this, but we can just speculate.
It didn't screen for critics, which is a big shock, I think. But since Taylor Lautner can't act, I have a hard time believing that he's going to do a very good job in this film either.
I think the measurement of his career will be, when will you get to the point where you won't have to say Taylor Lautner of Twilight fame?
That's true.
When that part drops off his name, then he will have established himself. But there's a long ways to go before that happens.
Okay, and in the movie Abduction, he discovers that he's like the boy on the milk carton kind of thing, right? And do we know anything more about it?
I don't know anything about
it. No, I don't either.
Oh, goody. Okay. So Abduction opens this weekend, but maybe we will not be recommending that one.
Well, we're not recommending it.
Of course
not. We just don't know better yet.
Right. Well, and I don't know either. So you have a choice between Moneyball and Abduction. But also out, it opened last weekend, is the movie Drive. And in this scene, Ryan Gosling's character, Driver, meets Bernie Rose, who is played by Albert Brooks.
I want you to meet somebody. And whatever you do like about the car, don't say anything. I want to drive the price down a little bit. Kid, I want you to meet Mr. Bernie Rose.
Nice to meet you.
My hands are a little dirty.
So am I.
All right, so that's Drive, and starring Ryan Gosling, and it did fairly well at the box office. I mean, people seem to like it. Hope, have you seen this movie?
I love this movie. This is my favorite film that's out right now. I think one of the, as I mentioned in the review, I think one of the problems the film is going to face is that it's kind of marketed as like a Fast and Furious kind of a film, and if that's That's not what you're going to get at all. So I'm afraid that the people who do go see it expecting like a mindless action car chase movie are going to be disappointed. But I really hope people go find this film. It's incredibly well done. It's so well directed, and it's a very simmering, slow moving, incredibly well acted film. And it is so low key that when there are flurries of violence, they're amazingly startling, and they have a lot more, I think, like emotional weight to them for that reason, because they're just, it's not what you have come to expect. And Ryan Gosling is spectacular. Albert Brooks is spectacular. I loved this.
And that was something that was interesting to me, having Albert Brooks in this movie. It surprised me. Frank, what do you think of that?
Well, he's always had some range. He's always played some edgy characters. According to the feature that ran in the Dispatch, it isn't that he necessarily needs the work because the movies he makes himself. Most of his career is based on films he writes and directs himself. And the last one didn't do very well, and it takes a couple of years between projects for him. So I assume he's picking up a good paycheck. But Brooks has done a lot of good work for a lot of years, so I'm not surprised. Apparently he really enjoyed the fact playing a really low-life character in this one. So.
And yeah, we heard him in that clip saying his hands were a little dirty too. So, and Ryan Gosling's character is interesting because he doesn't have, his name is Driver, right? So I couldn't find, I was like looking for his name.
Yeah, they don't ever say his name. He's a getaway driver. Mm-hmm. And so most of the people that he works with don't know his name. And then he sort of works with this guy in a garage who refers to him as the kid. So, but it's really fitting because you really don't get to know anything about him, and his performance is so, he just takes such a, like you can tell from just that clip, he takes such a long time before he says anything. He's just quite an enigma and fascinating for that reason. But
not the Notebook Ryan Gosling, right?
No.
And Carey Mulligan's in this too. I know that you like her, right?
Yes. Yeah. She's great in it. She doesn't have a very big role, but it's an important one, and it's sort of a lot of yearning, longing, but not an actual romance. It's quite lovely, actually.
She seemed to have a big role just from watching the trailer. Is that just they stuck her in there to?
No, what she doesn't have is a lot of lines. Oh, of course, really, honestly, neither is Ryan Gosling.
Well, he has a lot of pauses.
Yes,
it's all in the pauses, not the lines, right? So that is called Drive, and it's in theaters now. It opened last weekend, and it came in third after The Lion King Contagion. You're listening to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. What movies are you looking forward to this fall? Listeners, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. More in just a moment on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Peter Sagal, host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and I messed up. I owe you an explanation. This weekend, Wait, Wait comes to you Netflix style. We're going to divide ourselves into two different shows, one just with questions called Wait, Wait, and a new service that streams just the answers. It's called Car Talk. Hopefully that name isn't already taken. It's all about customer satisfaction on this week's news quiz from NPR.
Saturday morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from Thrifty Airport Valet Parking, a valet service for business and leisure travelers that takes you in your car to curbside check-in at Port Columbus. 614-237-5800 or thriftycolumbus.com.
Become an 89.7 NPR News sustaining member. No more checks to write, and your member card will never expire. For as little as $5 per month, you'll be supporting great programs. Visit wosu.org/sustainer.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. Joining me in the studio is the other paper film critic, Hope Madden. Thanks for being here, Hope.
Thanks for having me.
And also Frank Gabrenia, film critic for the Columbus Dispatch. Thanks for being here. And also joining us now is film critic for Columbus Alive, also web producer for Columbus Alive, Brad Keefe. Thanks
for
being
here. Hey, it's great to finally be here.
Yay.
Yeah, breaking news, there's a traffic accident on 315. Avoid it. I almost called in, but...
Yes, well, we should have said that at the top of the hour. We'd help people out. Listeners, give us a call and let us know what movies you're looking forward to this fall, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Hope, a movie that you mentioned to me prior to the show is at the Gateway for a limited time, Julia's Eyes. Now, I couldn't pull a clip because it's not in English, but...
That's true.
Yes.
it's funny because it's part of their Nightmares on High Street series, which I just love. I just love that they have it, and I really recommend people get it. Get online, figure out what they have, and go see it. Because they bring in so many films that you're not going to get to see otherwise if you're a fan of horror films. And Julia's Eyes is probably a cut above a traditional horror film. It eventually becomes a bit of a slasher, but it's kind of a moody, stylish Spanish thriller for a long time starring, I don't know how you pronounce her name, I apologize if I slaughter it, Belén Rueda, she starred in The Orphanage 3 years ago, spectacular, and she does has just as fine a performance in this film. It's quite good.
Okay, so scary, suspenseful, but like not one of those. Is it like one of those horribly bloody horror movies? Or
not until the last third.
Okay,
spoilers.
So you can leave halfway through.
Yeah. That's right.
All right. So Julia's Eyes is at the Gateway.
Isn't that Guillermo del Toro produced as well? I believe
he did. He didn't direct it. The director did a very nice job. Very not a Guillermo del Toro style direction. More of like honestly Brian De Palma style direction. To tell you the truth, but. Yeah, Guillermo del Toro, he's pretty busy right now.
Yeah, I just kind of love that like he and Sam Raimi, they got like a little popularity.
That's right.
And they just get to make these pet projects. Right. They make all these great little scary movies that are just the kind of movies they would like.
Yeah.
All right, and speaking of a movie that is a little different, making a city-by-city tour right now with one showing in Columbus at the Gateway this Sunday night is a movie that is very, very R-rated, I'm thinking, Red State. I don't know that you've seen it, but Brad, I think you wrote about it, right?
I did. I did a little preview of it. The way it's kind of rolling out is it's not a national release. It's kind of going around touring almost like a rock band, you know, and they'll be sort of a big buzzed about. There's
odd
actually
for
only
a movie.
And there's only one showing, and... ticket price is actually $20, which is a little steep, but there's a live Q&A with the director via webcast afterward. And I think actually the last time Kevin Smith did a personal appearance in town, tickets were like $35 for that. So I think he has a fan base that'll pay that.
Okay. And so this is kind of controversial, very, very R-rated, as I said.
Yeah, it's a split for him, you know, that he's doing kind of a straight horror movie almost.
I actually got a chance to talk to him about this like 2 summers ago before he was in with the Smod cast at Studio 35. We talked about Red State because I always talk to directors about horror films if they have one in the queue. And I thought to myself, how bizarre, Kevin Smith, like Clerks and Dogma fame, is going to do a horror film, and it's an idea of like fundamentalist Christians gone completely over the top, and he was pretty excited about it, and felt like he was tired of doing Kevin Smith movies. Is how he kept referring to them as Kevin Smith movies, and he could do those in his sleep. I was a little worried because he said that the films that got him prepared for this were Cop Out and the romantic comedy with Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler,
Armageddon.
The Jersey Girl.
Jersey Girl.
That was the movie that Kevin Smith's like fan base just stopped.
Right. Well, I don't think they were happy about
Cop
Out either.
And that was the first time they kind of jumped it.
So yeah, that made me a little nervous that the ones that prepped him for this were, as he admitted out loud, were the ones people really didn't like. So, you know, but I'm going.
Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, the Michael Parks in the lead. He's
right.
Kind of he's a longtime character actor, and Tarantino's a big fan of his.
Yeah.
And I really think he's got the skills to carry that kind of role.
I think so too. And Melissa Leo, John Goodman, these are some of the supporting actors. So, you know, I mean, it's worth a look, I think, if you like really violent films.
That said, I think this tour maybe indicates it's not the greatest movie. Because
right.
If it were, it'd just get that national release and make a lot of money.
Well, except that I think that it's not getting a distributor because of the violence.
And Frank, have you heard anything about Red State?
Maybe he should have based part of it on Armageddon. Maybe
oh.
would
have. I see.
No, I don't. Only what I've read.
Okay. 614-292-8513. Graham from Worthington, what movie did you want to talk about?
I'm really looking forward to an old childhood favorite of mine, which was Tintin, which is coming up for actually for a Christmas release rather than a full release. But
Oh yes, still. I was looking for it on my calendar. December 23rd, The Adventures of Tintin. Why are you looking forward to that?
It's just something I grew up with. I just love those adventures, and they are actually quite controversial at their time. Hergé was accused of racism and colonialism and all sorts of things, and I'm really intrigued to see how they address this. Got a fairly big budget, from what I understand, and it's Peter Jackson and Steven Spielberg are steering it. I just can't wait to see it. I want to see how they do the little cowlick on Tintin's hair as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that recommendation. So looking forward to it in December. Anyone thoughts on that?
Well, it's a project that's been toyed with by Spielberg in particular for a really long time. I'm curious because it is one of the two movies, the other actually being the Transformers this summer. They're the two movies that were buzzed about that might be able to save the slide of 3D that are really supposed to be the kind of visual spectacle that you're expecting from that. And it also has Andy Serkis
right,
in it,
which is always a good thing.
I think almost should be an Oscar consideration.
I agree, absolutely, for Planet of the Apes. And he probably could have been for Lord of the Rings and for King Kong. I mean, yeah, he's got, the motion capture. He does, he does Gollum, and he did King Kong, and he does Caesar. And he's just, nobody else should be doing motion capture acting. So I am kind of excited to see it. I'm excited to see him do something else.
All right, so that is The Adventures of Tintin, which opens December 23rd, so we can mark our calendars way out into the late fall, winter time for that. Thank you for that call, Graham. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We did have a call from Roberta in Columbus. She couldn't stay on the line, but she wanted to hear about Dolphin Tale, which I think opens this weekend. Does anyone know much about that?
I was really hoping that, being late, I would have missed the Dolphin Tale
discussion.
Well,
Roberta brought it up. I'm sorry.
I didn't see it. It sure does look like a feel-good family movie, though, doesn't it?
Okay, feel-good
family
movie.
The other paper actually liked it. Chad Dell reviewed it, and he liked it better than he expected to. And he did think it was a nice family film, and the child performances were much better than expected, and it wasn't as saccharine as the trailer might make you think it was.
I'm just maybe too cynical for prosthetic dolphin tales.
But it's a true story.
Based on a true story.
That's nice.
Oh, tell us how you really feel, Brad. All right. So Dolphin Tale, did it open this weekend or was it last weekend?
Yeah, it opens today. The review and the Wire review and the Dispatch was very praiseworthy of it. Thought it was wonderful. And I think you go to those things with the perspective of whether you have children and whether you say there's a place for this kind of movie. And there certainly is. If it's done well, the review was more positive than I expected. I actually turned down a chance to review it a couple of weeks ago.
I did the same
after
thing.
Reading the premise, but and the review today isn't necessarily going to make me go out, and now that I have grown children, I don't have to take them. So
right,
but I did sit through most of the Free Willies. So I thought that was enough for a lifetime.
If you saw Lion King already last weekend, you need something else to see, and then Dolphin Tale may be what you can go see.
Well, to take the children, yeah. I mean, giving kids a positive experience in a movie theater is never to be passed up.
614-292-8513 or send us an email, allsides@wosu.org. Tell us what fall films you're looking forward to. A film that's out right now, and it's a remake and maybe has a little bit of controversy, is Straw Dogs. In this scene, Charlie and David are talking about the Bible.
Hey, Charlie, there is something in the Bible I do believe.
What was that, sir?
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife.
Well, I believe in that, too. But what happens when thy neighbor's wife covets you? What then?
So very suspenseful, and it's a remake, right? So tell us a little bit about Straw Dogs and its controversies.
It's a remake of a Sam Peckinpah film that was, I mean, even for a Sam Peckinpah film, very controversial with Dustin Hoffman and Melissa George. Is it Melissa George?
No,
Susan George. I apologize. It's a home invasion film, basically, is what it's turned into in the new context. And I didn't want to see it. I was really unhappy about the casting in particular because
I'm sorry, I didn't mention the names. David is played by
James Marsden, who's much too attractive to be filling in for Dustin Hoffman. And the fact that Dustin Hoffman is a bit of a schlub is very important in the first film. And then I also thought Alexander Sarsgaard, really, I didn't see him playing the sort of country bumpkin thug, which is what the character calls for. But I was surprised by the performances across the board. And it's a remake that's unnecessary, particularly because the original is so steeped in its era, its time period. And I didn't know why somebody wanted to attack it, especially given that it's a very violent film, a lot of violent, there is a gang rape scene in the original film and in the remake, and I didn't know why somebody would want to do that again. I mean, Sam Peckinpah didn't care what, you know, people thought of him. But I liked the remake. It surprised me. I thought that it didn't have the brooding atmosphere of the original, the sense of dread that made the original so compelling and uncomfortable, but, you know, I was surprised by what a nice job they did of it.
And it made some money at the box office. It came in number 5, but didn't, you know, blow anything out of the water. Frank, what do you think of remaking this versus the Dustin Hoffman one?
Well, I haven't seen the new one. I did see the original when it came out. And one thing those movies always do that is rarely analyzed by the people who watch them afterwards is that in the end, when the hero who's been undervalued, as we said in Moneyball, fights back more viciously than the people invading his home and attacking him, there is such a sense of catharsis for the viewer, in a sense that you normally wouldn't want to admit to. I don't know. Does that happen in this one, too? It certainly happened in the original.
Well,
Dustin, blow those guys away.
What I think, though, and I think the original did it and the remake does as well, is that as much as you root for Dustin Hoffman in the first one and James Marsden again in the remake, at the end you realize that he and his wife, who has been spared, who has survived the ordeal, they're not the same people, and not in a good way. They're probably not going to remain together. So as much as you are rooting for them at first, in the end, the whole thing is so unsettling and unseemly, but it's as it should be, because you shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't be all positive. I've slaughtered these 5 men, you know.
And I don't remember the exact sense I felt at the end of the first one. I know while he was trapping them and defeating
them,
I felt satisfaction.
Sure.
And it's basically, I think, the kind of immediate experience you get from pornography or something. Give me this rush now. I'll contemplate it. I probably won't contemplate it later because that'll be too unsettling. And I don't know if this one does it or not.
I think to a lesser degree. I think one of the things that Peckinpah did so well was create, and to a lesser degree, you don't like any character. None of the characters are truly good people, including Dustin Hoffman, the main character. And to a greater degree, Marsden. Marsden's version is more vain. He's more insecure. He's just, they're not great people, which I think is something Peckinpah was fascinated by. People who are multidimensional and not, you know, not great people. And I give the new film credit for sort of sticking with that. The female character is a little more positive, which, to be honest, is sort of necessary given the change of 40 years later. But it's an interesting film one way or the other.
All right.
But not for the same crowd as The Lion King.
No, oh my, no.
Yes. Maybe for a similar crowd to Drive, but not the same. So Straw Dogs is in theaters now. And for maybe something a little bit lighter, we have Susan on the line from Worthington. Susan, what film are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the Big Year, which is probably going to be totally mindless. It's Steve Martin, Luke Owen, and Jack Black, and it's about 3 guys who decided to see as many birds as they could in North America in 1 year. And it's got a Central Ohio connection because Jack Black is playing the character Greg Miller, who is from Central Ohio. Excuse me. So these guys, I've seen the trailer, looks really funny, but it's about how they spent the year dedicated to finding over 700 birds in North America, different species of birds. And we have lots of bird watchers in Central Ohio, and in fact, I'm active in the Columbus Audubon, and we're having Greg Miller come and speak to us at our meeting next Tuesday. So we're looking forward to that coming out.
All right. Thank you, Susan. So The Big Year opens on October 14th. And basically, bird watching is one of the fastest growing hobbies in North America. And so these three bird watchers are played by Steve Martin, Jack Black, and Owen Wilson. And basically, it's just a spoof on bird watching. Have you seen?
Well, why is it a spoof? Who says it's a spoof?
Well,
does somebody say it's a spoof?
I don't know.
And the caller, who was obviously very much into bird watching, says it's probably going to be mindless or maybe mindless. And I don't understand that kind of expectation for a film. Sounds to me like it could be very entertaining. I love an offbeat idea like this. If now somebody goes in and writes good dialogue and it's smoothly edited and all the other things that make film superior, there's no reason why an idea like this can't work. I hope it does.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the tone is supposed to be, but Brad, what do you think?
It's an interesting cast, but there's a lot of talent there, but there's also got a lot of comedic missteps among, you know, Steve Martin. I love The Jerk. It's one of my favorite comedies of all time. And then he had that kind of grown-up period where he was doing stuff like L.A. Story. And then more recently, he's been doing family comedies. And what was that awful thing he did with Queen Latifah about?
And, House Arrest?
He really could use a kind of return to form movie. Jack Black is coming off of Gulliver's Travels, was his last
all
one.
Three
and
of those
a lot
guys.
Of funny guys that just need a chance to be really funny again.
Yeah, I agree. I'm hoping that it does turn out well because I love all three of these guys and they have done good work in the past, just not in the recent past. So I'd love to see them.
Do we know if this is original
with a better
or if it's
movie.
Based on a book or something?
Well, it's do we know? If the Jack Black character is a real person, then I assume
well,
it's somewhat
I mean, it
based
on. Well, it could be
modeled
on a real person. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. But
that'll make a difference.
Yep. So it's called The Big Year and it opens on October 14th. And another movie that's opening next weekend, I believe, it opens September 30th, is called 50-50. And it attempts to, it's a comedy, basically, about cancer. And in this scene, Adam and Kyle, so Adam played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Kyle played by Seth Rogen, are talking about his odds at beating cancer.
What kind of cancer is it? What's the name of the cancer?
Some rare kind of cancer.
What's it called?
Schwannoma. I knew this.
Schwannoma?
Schwannoma.
Schwannoma? What's schwannoma?
That means tumor, basically.
Your chances?
So.
What are your odds?
I don't know. I mean, I looked it up and it said 50-50, but that's like the internet, so.
It's not that bad. That's better than I thought. You'll be fine, man. You're young. Young people beat cancer all the time. Every celebrity beats cancer. Lance Armstrong, he keeps getting it.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Guy from Dexter?
Right.
He's okay. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. 50-50. If you were a casino game, you'd have the best odds.
And so, Brad, what do you think about a comedy about cancer?
They've tried it before. What was the Adam Sandler?
Funny People?
Yes. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. This is getting such great buzz that, I mean, people are already talking that it should be an Oscar consideration. And a comedy about cancer, they must be pulling it off pretty well.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I see it on Monday, actually. But Joseph Gordon-Levitt is really always good. He's really mostly a character actor, but I've rarely seen him, you know, make a misstep. And Seth Rogen co-wrote the script, I believe. Is that accurate?
Yeah, a friend of his. Yeah. The co-writer is the guy who suffered through this.
Right. Yeah. So it's based on a true story with him, and I think it has. But you know, it does. It has a ton of buzz. It got great reviews. It screened at Toronto Film Festival last week, and got it was hugely popular there. So I'm really eager to see it.
So that's called 50-50, and it opens next weekend, September 30th. And this is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurovich. With me in the studio is Brad Keefe with Columbus Alive, Hope Madden with The Other Paper, and Frank Cabrinha with The Dispatch. What movies are you looking forward to this fall? 614-292-8513. And this is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News.
The The new movie Moneyball is adapted from Michael Lewis's book about Billy Beane, the general manager of the Oakland A's, and the unorthodox approach he took to recreating his team. On the next Fresh Air, Lewis talks about Moneyball.
To me, what was great about this story is that you had this collection of junkyard dogs, these underdogs that nobody else wanted, coming together to be a really great team.
Join us.
Today at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Get caught up with local and national news every Friday night on WOSU-TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed by Columbus on the Record, continuing with the McLaughlin Group, and then Need to Know. Spend your Friday night with WOSU-TV beginning at 8.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation and supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
New Orleans is a city with many borders, between black and white, new and old, before and after, between the levees and the land, a shadow world that lies between the boundaries.
It's an edge community. It's not in the city, and it's not really in the river, but it's on the edge, and there's a lot of interesting things that happen on edges.
Living on the Bachelor, Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Saturday morning from 8 till 11 on 89.7 NPR News.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich, and we're talking about the fall movie season. This is traditionally the time of year when theaters bring out the movies, when studios bring out the movies that they're hoping are going to be contenders for the awards season. And we are talking about what our panel is looking forward to with the fall movie season. Joining me in the studio is Brad Keefe with Columbus Alive. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Amy.
And also Frank Cabrera with The Dispatch. Thank you, Frank. And also Hope Madden with the other paper. Thanks, Hope.
Thanks for having me.
And we have Gregory on the line. Gregory, what movie did you want to talk about?
Hi, good morning. The movie called Sarah's Key. It's a World War II movie.
And did you enjoy seeing that?
You know what? It was really sobering, and a real short synopsis is a journalist was doing a story on the roundup of maybe 10,000 Jews in Paris during the war, and as she was telling her assistant, he says, I've never heard of this, and I'm a World War II buff. The Nazis were dedicated into making records and film and documentation, and the lady said, it wasn't the Nazis that rounded the Jews up, it was the French that rounded them up. And based upon a true story, I looked that up, and long story short, they put most of them to death, and it came all about the lady, the journalist, ended up living in one of the Holocaust owner's homes. So that was a pretty sobering movie.
All right. Well, thank you for that recommendation. And I think we were talking about this. It was out at the Drexel, but we don't think it's there any longer.
Yeah,
Frank, you want to add anything?
I don't know if that was the only theater, but I believe it's not there anymore. And I'm not sure you can find it anywhere in town right now. It was an interesting movie. I'm not sure that the modern story had as much to tell as the flashback story. It really jumps back and forth in time frames all the way through the movie. And something that intrigued me, this was also news to me, that the French had rounded up Jews over about a three-day period, put them in large stockades and things, and then later shipped them out. And they eventually died in the in some of the death camps. But what I did find out is that this was pretty common knowledge in France a couple of years ago because the president publicly apologized for this. So this news did not come as a shock to the French when the book this is based on was published, but it still is news to people around the world. But it was okay. It wasn't a great film, but I wish it had all been in the past, and that would have been more interesting.
Okay, so that's Sarah's Key. So we're not sure if it's still at theaters, but if you can find that movie. And also, there is a movie coming out October 7th that's getting a lot of talk. It's called The Ides of March, and it's getting a lot of talk because of the cast and the topic. And in this scene, Stephen, played by Ryan Gosling, so we'll bring up Ryan Gosling again, has a policy idea that's not going to be popular with teenagers, and he tells George Clooney's character, Governor Mike Morris, about it.
Make it mandatory, not voluntary.
That'll poll well.
Mandatory. Everybody who turns 18 or graduates high school gives 2 years of service to his or her country. And for that, your college education is paid for, period.
Paul likes this.
Mm-hmm. The beauty of it is that everybody who's over the age of 18 or past the age of eligibility will be for it. Why not?
And all of the others...
can't vote. Too young.
All right, so that is The Ides of March. And I'm not sure what to call it. Do I call it a political thriller?
I don't think thriller is.
I don't know what
word
to use.
We haven't seen, no one has seen it yet, right? The screening is about in another week, or maybe Tuesday night.
Yeah, that's right.
Looking forward to this because George Clooney directed it. He has a very good track record as a director, serious films. And this one, the suggestion of the clip you just showed, an exposure of the cynicism behind politics. So that'll be fun to go see.
Brad, what do you think of The Ides of March?
Clooney does have a really great record. I actually kind of loved – I mean, he sort of came out of nowhere. It was a Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, I think, was his first.
Yeah, that was his first one.
And you know, he was always kind of thought of as just sort of a handsome, pretty boy actor with – you know, he had some acting chops, but no one expected him as a director. And then
Good Night and Good Luck.
Yeah, Good Night and Good Luck. His last one, The American, kind of divided audiences.
I don't think
a little
he directed
bit, but,
that. Or, he did direct Leatherheads, which is poor.
Yeah.
Leatherheads was a disappointment.
And it has Ryan Gosling, so I'm pretty sure the female audience is already... Are they on board for just everything he does at this point? Because I don't think I've...
Well, you know, if not him, Clooney, right? I mean, who's... But it's also Philip Seymour Hoffman and Paul Giamatti, you know, Marissa
who
Tomei.
Who are less attractive
Wood.
Than those other two.
They are, but it's a great cast.
They balance it out a bit.
And I want to just plug, it's just full disclosure, I'm excited to see this. My family is excited to see this. My son's girlfriend, Haley Madison, is in this film. She has a small role, but it's a speaking role. So,
what's the name of her character? What's the description of the character?
She's an intern, and I believe that there is some connection between her character and Evan Rachel Wood's character. And I think
an
that
intern within the political, organization,
as is
Evan
Rachel Wood plays an intern as well in the political organization, and so she does as well. And so it has to do with sort of a cynical sort of irony that I think pervades the film, her character and Evan Rachel Wood's character.
And how long have your son and this future star been dating?
A while, actually. Well over a year.
I'm going to keep that in mind when you review the film, Hope.
Yeah, I'm not going to be allowed to review the film.
To the screening. Does she have acting ambitions?
She does, yeah.
Was this a fluke to get into this, or did she go out and seek it out?
She sought it out.
Mm-hmm. She auditioned.
So a local tie for this movie. And mm-hmm. they parts of it filmed in Ohio, is that right? Or what was that?
Cincinnati.
Ohio University, in Cincinnati.
Because Clooney has Cincinnati roots. That made it easier for him. But other places, and you said... She played her role in Detroit.
Yeah.
Actually, I believe one of our publications, Columbus Parent, is used. That's what I'm supposed to be looking for to spot there, is it was sent to them as some authentic Columbus background material. So
nice.
I'll be looking for that, too.
So The Ides of March opens October 7th, and there's some mixed predictions about it. So we'll see if it gets its Oscar buzz or not, you know, and that kind of thing. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What film are you looking forward to this fall? There's a film coming out later in the fall toward Thanksgiving, which Thanksgiving is always a good weekend for the big important movies and it has George Clooney again. So it's called The Descendants. George Clooney's character, Matt King, is a land baron, and he tries to reconnect with his two daughters after his wife suffers a boating accident. Here's a part of the trailer.
I'm the backup parent, the understudy.
I thought you were supposed to be getting your act together.
I've been doing really well, actually. Nobody ever seems to notice that.
And with Elizabeth, my wife, in the hospital, my daughters are testing me. I have to go around and tell people what's happening, family and a few close friends.
I don't want to talk about Mom with anyone.
Look, whatever you two fought about, you have to drop it. Grow up.
You really don't have a clue, do you? Dad, Mom was cheating on you.
So Ryan Gosling is everywhere this fall, and also George Clooney is everywhere this fall. Have we heard a lot, or what is the talk about The Descendants coming out November 23rd?
Well, I'll talk about that because this is the one movie of the fall that I'm most looking forward to than anything else. Have not seen it. Don't know much more about it. Have not sat through the trailer because I try to avoid trailers as much as possible because they tell me too much. In fact, that clip probably told me more than I would wanted to know if I had just seen
I'm
it.
Sorry.
From the beginning. No.
Actually, the trailer was 3 minutes long, and that was only 30 seconds.
No, so. You're right. And that's the way marketing is anymore. We'll tell you the key plot elements in advance to get you to go to see the movie. The main reason I want to see The Descendants is partially George Clooney, who I'm a very big fan of, but primarily because it's directed by Alexander Payne, who is my favorite working director. His movies include Citizen Ruth, Election, About Schmidt, and Sideways. And all of them very good, in increasing quality, I think, over the years. But Sideways was his last movie, and I believe that was 2006. And it's been 5 years. And literally, I would scan his page on Internet Movie Database over the years to say, when is this guy going to bring another movie out? Because I like his style and his delivery and his comedy and the insights he finds in his characters so much. The movie Up in the Air, also George Clooney from 2 years ago, was as close to an Alexander Payne-type movie as you could possibly come without him being involved at all. But now we finally get the real thing, and I'm hoping this movie delivers. I hope my expectations are not too high for it, but they're strictly based on the director's track record.
Yeah, I think among film critics, we do tend to follow directors the way the way a less casual movie fan follows their favorite actor, and that's I'm as excited about this. I think in tone, it probably seems closest to About Schmidt for him, but he's able to hop around and whatever. You know, his first movie, Citizen Ruth. You know, we just talked about an unlikely comedy about cancer. It was a comedy about the abortion debate, and somehow it worked. He's really talented, and I agree with Frank.
And we're not, you know, I threw those titles through kind of quickly. Maybe a lot of people don't focus on that, and certainly a lot of people don't know his name offhand. You'll remember About Schmidt because Jack Nicholson was retiring. You'll remember Sideways because Paul Giamatti and the other guy, Thomas
Church.
Hayden Church, were going on the wine tour of Northern California. And you'll remember Election because Reese Witherspoon was the hotshot who was going to win the presidency of her class. And who's the guy? Married to Sarah Jessica Parker.
Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick. Very good. Extra point for Brad.
Thank you.
Matthew Broderick played the civics teacher who was compromised. Now, those are all really interesting, challenging, and very funny and sophisticated movies without exception. And I hope this falls into that line. I don't know why it's taken him 5 years to make it.
I think, though, you brought up a really interesting point right off the bat, which is that each one of those films is better than the one prior to it, which is amazing. I mean, that's an amazing track record. And he writes and directs both, which is a huge help
to
him.
He did not write this. Wait a minute. That's right. It's based on a novel.
Okay.
Yes, he does have a co-screenplay credit, which I don't believe he did for a while. But I also noticed that his longtime partner, Jim Taylor, is not a co-screenwriter on this one, as he was on the other ones, but is a co-producer. And whatever all that means, I have no idea.
Yes. They're just all involved. Yeah. So that's called The Descendants, and it opens November 23rd, so we can look for that. We have about 5 minutes left in All Sides Weekend, 614-292-8513. If you get your call in, you can tell us what movies you're looking forward to this fall, 614-292-8513. What's another movie coming out this fall that you, Brad, what are you excited to see?
We haven't mentioned a movie that's going to make the most money this fall.
Twilight.
That's not the movie.
Well, I phrased the question as excited to say.
I'm not putting Brad on the spot, but you know, we talk in terms of these seasons. What's going to make all the money? Twilight.
And there's nothing we can say about Twilight that's going to convince anybody to go to it or not go to
it.
Exactly. I'm looking to see when it comes out. I'm sorry, I'm looking.
Thanksgiving.
I think I'm about a month down the road, but I really couldn't be any more excited about The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I know some people thought the originals. You mentioned that about Straw Dogs, that it was untouchable. But David Fincher, actually, before the screening we saw of Moneyball, we saw an extended trailer for it that's online. It's kind of the first time we get a chance to see some of the tone. And Maura Rooney in the lead really looks – I mean, that was the big question mark. Is she up for it? And it looks like she is.
So The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo doesn't come out till December.
Yeah, the 23rd, I think. But it'll be –
huge.
That big holiday weekend monster. Because, I mean, that how many copies has that book sold?
And Hope, anything you would like to mention?
I'm excited about David Cronenberg has a new film, Dangerous Method, and I love him. And this, you know, it's got a lot of good buzz at the Toronto Film Festival. Of course, he's from Canada, so they're kind of biased. But Venice, this was the biggest one there as well. So, and it's, I'm told, not a very Cronenberg-type film, and that Keira Knightley is likely to be nominated for an Oscar for it, and Viggo Mortensen co-stars, and he's awesome. It's about Freud and Jung. It sounds like it might not be interesting, perhaps, but I doubt that that's the case.
Say again, it's about what?
Freud.
Oh.
And Jung.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
So that's the one I'm excited for.
And which, I think which, that comes
which,
out.
Which one does Keira Knightley play?
Yeah, she plays
Freud
a patient.
She plays a patient. Very good.
So that comes out December 9th, A Dangerous Method. And we also had an email asking about a movie called The Artist, which is a silent film that has been talked about for getting an Oscar. Has anyone heard of that?
No.
No?
It got a pretty strong recommendation from one of our other critics, Melissa Starker, saw it at Toronto. And
it is silent?
It is silent.
Does that mean it has no dialogue or it has no sound?
I don't recall.
All right, well, we'll have to look into it.
You talk about watching silent movies, and they have music, and
music
they have
and
sound effects and titles and everything else, but silent is silent.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News, and we have time for one more clip from a movie. This is... I will give full disclosure. This is the movie I am most looking forward to because I'm kind of Muppety. this is a part of the trailer from The Muppets. With the help of three fans, the Muppets must reunite to save their old theater from a greedy oil tycoon.
We're trying to get the old gang back together again.
We haven't done this in a long time.
Your fans never left you. The world hasn't forgotten.
Sure, it's impossible, but we've got to try.
It's time to play the music.
It's time to light the lights.
It's time to meet the Muppets.
Yes! Come on, guys, let's go!
The Muppets have always been about artistic integrity, not cheap tricks.
Check it out! Fart shoes!
This is going to be a really short movie.
So The Muppets opens at Thanksgiving, too, November 23rd. And really, there's been just a lot of parody trailers for this movie. Not much about what the movie is actually about, just kind of making fun of the movie. So, Hope, what are your thoughts on The Muppets back?
This might be The Descendants. This is going to be a movie that can't possibly meet my expectations. I like you, I love The Muppets. I love them. And I was, to be honest, I was a little disappointed in the trailer. It's not funny.
There's six different trailers. They're all paired.
I'm very hopeful, and I'll be first in line. But I'm a little worried about this one.
Well, it gets extra points for me for the same reason all the women are going to every Ryan Gosling movie, because it has my starlet crush, Amy Adams, is in it. And I kind of...
I thought it was Carey Mulligan with you.
No, Amy Adams. I could rank them for you if you want a list.
Just now listening to a trailer from it, boy, it's not quite Kermit's voice.
Yeah.
If you see the face, that helps. But I remember when the first Muppet movie came out in 79, and I was there for that one, and absolutely loved it, but, I wasn't as thrilled with The Muppets Take Manhattan or something. It kind of wears down a little bit. It sounds in the plot like they're trying to do what the first one did over again with new technology and everything. I think a bigger factor to me will be making sure that we're just watching puppets and we're not watching CGI a lot of the time.
Right.
I want to see the Muppet charm in there.
All right, well, we have just a minute left, so that's enough time for each person to just say what movie to see this weekend as we say goodbye. So Hope Madden from the other paper?
Drive. Go see Drive.
And also Brad Keefe from Columbus Alive.
I think Moneyball is going to extend beyond the baseball audience. I think that's my pick for the week.
And Frank Abrenia from The Dispatch.
Well, there are so many other things in life to do that I'm not sure you have to go out and see a movie, but I don't know what I like out there. Oh, I liked Contagion. That's fun.
All right, so Contagion.
That's fun.
Disease of the week. Well, you got your cancer comedy.
All right.
It's not as much fun as bird watching. But.
So thank you very much for joining us today, and thanks to Sound Visionary for directing us. Also thanks to Corinne Gleckler and Linda Taylor. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus. And streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
Support for the Statehouse News Bureau stories on 89.7 come from the Ohio Education Association, representing 131,000 teachers, support professionals, and higher educational faculty who are working for great public schools for every child. Online at ohea.org.